Coast to coast, border to border, and around the world. It's time for The Bill Alexander Show. The Bill Alexander Show is a guest-driven program where the topics are diverse and entertaining. Laugh and learn while you listen to one of the best hours of online radio. Now, here's your host, Bill Alexander.
Hi, everyone. Yours truly, William Eric Alexander. All my friends call me Bill, and welcome to Season 3 of The Bill Alexander Show. Took a few months off. Now we're back and looking forward to it. And I think the most appropriate time to start a show again is on Halloween, October 31st, 2023, and we are back. Now, the interesting thing about this, and for those of you that are listening to the audio podcast, you probably should go find the video version of the show because I have a magician on the show. Now, I've heard magicians on a show before, on a radio show before, and they were just about as entertaining as ventriloquists on the radio because you never got to see them or hear them. So anyhow, so with me right now is Michael Gutenberg, who is...
Guten Plan.
I'm sorry. I'm thinking of the actor. You're right.
That's an honor to be associated with Steve Gutenberg. I'll take it.
It's pretty bad. I haven't done this in so long, and I got your name wrong just to begin with. So there we go. That's my only mistake that will get out of the way. There we go. So, Michael, so glad to have you here. We had a screw-up yesterday because of my schedule, not because of yours. And I was glad we were able to reschedule it for this late afternoon. And you are located where right now?
I'm right now in Hollywood, California. I'm actually looking out my window at the Hollywood sign.
Okay. And how long have you been doing, do I want to call it an act? Do I want to call it a show? What do I want to call it?
Both. Okay. So I would say I've been doing magic and all of that my entire life. As a little kid, I have pictures and all that. I have been doing magic as a profession for 23 years. I started when I was in your neck of the woods at Carnegie Mellon University, started doing magic and quickly started doing it for money. I worked in TV for about 15 years. And then 7 years ago, got back into the magic world. The universe set up some situations that said just it was the right time. And it was at that moment that my grandfather, who got me into magic to begin with, called me up on the phone and said, "Do the psychic act." And that was the moment I learned I'm a third generation psychic, my father and my grandfather. And it's been nonstop since then. So the magic as a hobby, my whole life, magic as a profession, 23 years, the psychic show, 7 years.
Okay.
How long have I been a psychic? Since I was 18 years old, I survived a near-death experience with viral myocarditis and started really believing in the universe and psychic phenomena, that jazz.
So did your grandfather and your dad make it a career, or did they just know they had it and pulled it out at parties and things like that?
Great question. My grandfather would do it at parties. Neither of them were performers. And if you saw my grandfather do magic, you may question if it is magic.
Okay.
he's quite good. He has a good sense of humor. He's 96 years old. He still got it, you know, but they never did it for professional things. They did it at parties. My father was just not interested in it at all. He just believes in ESP. He believes in psychic connections. And we are not mediums. We don't talk to the dead. I look at a crystal ball. They do not look at crystal balls. They are what's called intuitives. They trust their instinct, their intuition. And we as a family believe it's a muscle. It's not a power. It's something every single person has. You have it, Bill. I have it. It is psychic. It's ESP. And it's that muscle, and the more you use it, the stronger it gets. And the secret is to trust yourself, to trust those instincts, those intuitions. And you start listening to yourself, and over time, you make decisions based on your energy, your intuition. We were talking before we started rolling. I went to the post office the other day. I was shipping something. My instinct said, "Michael, this is not going to arrive on time. There's something in the energy of the room." And we've all felt that. We've all walked in and went, "Ooh, something doesn't feel right." I didn't listen to myself. I get it wrong. I'm a professional psychic and I get it wrong. Because I didn't trust my instincts. I didn't trust my intuition in that moment. Big mistake. Got there too late. Wasn't usable. But that's the kind of stuff. When I talk about ESP and psychic work, I'm not talking about controlling the universe. I'm talking about listening to the universe.
So I go through your bio that was
sent. I just had a coffee, by the way.
Oh, okay. I just went through your bio. And it's you performed for a lot of law enforcement, which I find very interesting.
You know what? It's interesting. You know, there's two sides to that. One is they just like to be entertained. So I've done fire departments, police departments. I've done a lot of federal agencies also. The other side is when they actually get tricked, they have the best reactions. So lawyers, engineers, they're always good to entertain because you can trick them, but they're professional problem solvers. You know, they're going to enjoy it in a certain way. When you get a law enforcement person in your audience and you're able to steal their watch or you're able to do something like mind reading, these are people who make a living detecting lies, right? They make a living assuming everybody's guilty, but detecting lies, finding the fraud. There is such a Schadenfreude joy when you watch them get got, is right. The term I would use. I don't embarrass anybody. I make sure nobody has a bad time on my stage. Nobody's embarrassed. Nobody's, you know, insulted. But there is something joyful. I did a show for the Secret Service once. They were having a dinner party in Pittsburgh. The financial Secret Service. This was pre-9/11, before it became Homeland. You know, they split up. They're no longer part of the Treasury, I don't believe. But they were doing Treasury work. And I stole the watch from the head of the department. And it was interesting because his watch was made out of one of the confiscated gold double eagle coins. And it was passed down from this department chair to the department, whatever, I don't know what the terms are. And when I stole it, there was this hush over the room and the guy went, "Give it back." All right, buddy, calm down. But you get moments like that. Usually it's in good humor. I remember when I used to do magic at Heinz Field, the Steelers, and I would do the skyboxes, and the police officers who guarded the players' entrance gate would always say, "Hey, do something." And I knew one of them was going to ask. So when I walked in, I had stolen his watch. And he said, hey, do something. And I said, "You mean like this?" He did not find that funny. He was like, "All right, kid, get out of here."
Well, if you were in Pittsburgh right now, we'd probably be asking you to make Matt Canada disappear. But
that's a different type of magic.
And the other thing is, too, is how can you, I mean, honestly, why would you want to be the official magician of the Pittsburgh Pirates? I mean, really?
Because I was in college and it paid the bills. Okay. It was really, you know, I got hooked up. I was the magician when Dave and Buster's at the Waterfront opened, yes. Right? So for like 3 years, every weekend I would go and do magic there. And when it first opened, it was the hottest place in town. And you would have all these people. So one of the groups that I got were the Rooney family.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steelers. That's how I got to do the Steelers or Steelers. Then from them, I got Jerome Bettis's family to do, they had a bus out front. So do the suites. And then I would come down and do the bus, the bus's family. Then, you know, they all talk to each other. So the Pirates were having like a family day at the park. So they had called me and said, "Hey, would you set up a little area and do some magic for, you know, the families?" And then from that, I got the suites also. And then they had called the Penguins and said, "Hey, we got this guy." So the Penguins, I never actually did games for. I would do off-season things. I would do, you know, VIP events and stuff. But the Pirates, you know, for 3 years, I was their official magician. I was the guy they used. And then the Steelers also, I was their kind of their guy. I got to do a lot of the off-season parties, meet all of the stars, you know, Franco Harris and those kind of people. It was really a great way to start a career, which is I'm not into sports, so I didn't know who any of these people were, but you got those great reactions, and they are celebrities in Pittsburgh. And it was a great way to start a career because I understood how to entertain people that are demigods, how to entertain people that are so used to people giving everything they want. So there is a higher bar for expectations. I always say, you know, my clientele right now are the 1% of the 1%, ultra high net worth families, CEOs, Fortune 500 companies, casinos, resorts. That's my market. And you do these shows, and my mentality going in is, man, they could have hired Copperfield. They got all the money
Right.
in the world. Why did they hire me? But I better give them something they can't get anywhere else. I better give them a truly phenomenal experience so that they go, boy, we're glad we didn't hire Copperfield or David Blaine or whoever. I learned that in Pittsburgh. I learned in Pittsburgh that there is a higher expectation. You can't ever phone it in. You can't ever do what everybody else is doing. The killer is when, I'm doing a mind reading show. The killer is when someone goes, oh, I saw another guy do that.
Right.
Ooh, I better change my act.
So what, because I think it's interesting, because before this, I really didn't know you had a connection to Pittsburgh because we're just south of the city. What made you go to CMU?
It was the best school that I can get into. It's a phenomenal theater program. It's a phenomenal art program. I went for art and theater, eventually just sticking with the theater in the end. It was just the, I'm a believer in the universe. At that point, I didn't know it yet, but I went to a school fair. We saw
Right.
the Carnegie Mellon table. My mother went, ooh, that's a good school. And he goes, you know what? It's like the lottery. Why don't we apply? And if you get in, you'll go. And we got, I went to the table and they said, why don't you come for a, you should fly to Pittsburgh. We were in New York, fly to Pittsburgh and go on a tour. And that's a bit of an investment, right? I mean, this was, I love it because I have it here somewhere. I have the TWA ticket. That's how long ago this was. A ticket for TWA. And, it was a prop plane. I'll never forget. It had propellers. And I said, where are we going? What the hell is going on? Out of the TWA terminal, which is now a hotel in JFK. And we flew to Pittsburgh. And I remember going to the school going, oh, this is where I want to go. It was just the right feeling. And I'd gone, my whole life is that. Ooh, this feels right. This is the right place to be. And I was there for 5 years. I enjoyed it so much.
So, did people question you going, why Pittsburgh? There were so many other great schools in the country. Why Pittsburgh?
No, I do think that the reputation of Carnegie sets itself. It could be in a, it could have been in Oklahoma. I mean, it could have been
Right.
Kansas. The quality of my peer group, the students I went to school with, the quality of the teachers, and Pittsburgh, for anybody watching this who is not in Pittsburgh, in my opinion, having grown up in New York, I live in Los Angeles, I lived in London, I traveled the world, is one of the greatest cities of the world. It has the culture and sophistication of the major cities of the US. It has the hospitality and the feel of small town America. It is a incredible, fabulous, wonderful city. And it has a huge place in my heart. I love it tremendously.
I will let the Pittsburgh Tourism Board know you said it so they can send your check.
Oh,
So,
thank you. They had already agreed to that, so they know who to make it out to.
so I find it interesting as you go through it, you were kicked out of a casino. Were you performing there or were you just there
So
to do your thing?
I was in Las Vegas with my grandfather and his wife. We were going to see the Elton John concert at Caesars, and he was staying at Mandalay Bay or the Four Seasons, and I was staying at the Aria, and we had met up at the Cosmopolitan because it was where kind of we can meet up. And we were walking over, but we were about, an hour or 2 hours early. So we stopped at a roulette wheel. And hey, we had a $25 chip, you put it on the one number. He goes, oh, what number? And I looked at the wheel spinning and I said, I don't know, four, whatever number I said. And four came up. Now 25 times 30 is a lot of money. We took it off and my grandfather goes, hey, do it again. I said, sure, let's unlock the psychic potential. And I got it. And we didn't let it ride. We would take it off and put one back on. I think I got like 12 or 13 in a row,
Wow.
which is a lot of money. And we cashed out. And on our way out, these two gentlemen said, please come with me. They checked me for devices and they said, we don't think you were cheating, but we'd prefer if you don't come back on our property. And they gave me a piece of paper that was a trespass warrant. And I said, what's this? And they said, well, if you step foot on our property again, we will have you arrested. You're barred for." And I said, "How long is this for?" They go, "Life." Now it has changed hands. It's now an MGM property, so I do think I'm allowed on. And the last time I was in Vegas about a year ago, I walked. I used to walk around, and this last time, I walked through the second floor. And I was convinced SWAT teams were going to come and be like, "He's back, get him. I'm slightly paranoid that they're going to come get me. But it's a bizarrely true story. I don't know how it was done. It was, luck of the draw kind of thing. But they 100% honest. I have that trespass warrant where they said, "Nah, you're good."
So you were able to do it. Your grandfather wasn't he wasn't just able to pick up on it or.
Everybody, it's not us. We can read people. Okay. This is how I always explain it to people. I can read you. I can tell you the kind of things you're going to say, and we'll do an experiment in a moment, to show you how that works.
Okay.
But I can't tell random numbers. I don't know what card's going to be next. That's made up. People don't have those skills, in my opinion. We can read people really well. So how did that work at the roulette wheel? I have no clue. Was it psychic premonition? Was it power? It was something. I trusted my instincts. The numbers popped out. The universe aligned. Great. Could I do it right now? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But there are great examples. I posted something to Instagram earlier. I don't know if you have your phone or access to a computer, but I want to try something, Bill. I actually posted this yesterday.
Okay.
I want you to think of any place in the world. Now, don't say Pittsburgh because it's too obvious.
Right.
But any city in the world that you want to go to. Okay. So it can't just be a place that you heard of. It has to be a place you want to go to. What is that place?
Right now is Knoxville, Tennessee.
Why Knoxville?
Because my son is working at Dollywood in Pigeon Forge.
Interesting. Do you have access to Instagram right now?
Yes.
I can go on mine if you don't. But yesterday, and let's see, it was a day ago, and I'm gonna show you it was a day ago because here's my Instagram. It's under Amazing Mentalist. So here's my Amazing Mentalist thing. And if you go on it, you have to actually scan down a couple of levels. And you can't change something once you post it.
Right.
But I posted this yesterday. You can see it says one day ago. Are you able to read what that says?
Yes, I'm able to read
that.
And
don't forget the hashtag there. What does it say?
It says Dollywood, Bill Alexander Show, prediction, third generation psychic. That is awesome.
It says, "Hi, Bill Alexander. I'm looking into my crystal ball and I predict you'll say Knoxville, Tennessee, hashtag Dollywood." Mm-hmm. And that was posted a day ago.
Yeah.
And there's a way that works. I can't predict the numbers on a roulette wheel, even if I was able to do it. But what I can do is look at you and I can learn about your son and I can have a sense, an instinct. You're not an international guy. You're not going to be running around the world. You're going to keep it within driving distance.
Right.
There was a psychic sense. There was a connection yesterday, even though we missed each other. And for some reason, I said, where would Bill want to go? And in my heart, in my mind, in my crystal ball, Tennessee came up. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know if you're an Elvis guy. You have Maude sitting behind you over there. I don't know if you're going to be an Elvis guy. And I don't think you're Nashville's a little too far. You're going to want to keep it within a day's drive. My psychic intuition, my sense was that you were going to want to go to Knoxville for Dollywood. Now, I didn't know it was because of your son.
Right.
But I sensed that you were going to be a Dollywood guy based on all the ladies behind you. And
well, what's interesting about it is I was there over the weekend. So I just got back from Dollywood. And that's one of the reasons why we got screwed up yesterday. So,
well, there you go.
That is really interesting.
So there is truth. I always say there's truth to the lie. There is, when I go up on stage and I do a show, people come up to me after and they go, was that real? Could you really read my mind, know what I was thinking? Oh, and I go, yes, but in the confines of this show, you are on the stage where I am controlling everything. So is it real? Yeah, it's real. But I have blocked out all external stimuli. I have made it so that I am the focus of your attention. So when you are on that stage, there is manipulation. It is real mind reading. It is real psychic predictions. But I am doing things that A, you don't see, and B, things I can't necessarily do in real life. Doesn't make it any less real, and it doesn't make your experience less real.
Right.
So that's how I explain it to people. It is real. What you just experienced is real, but there is manipulation. There is something else going on usually.
Because
The other thing that's happening that, and we talked about this earlier, is we are more alike than we are different. Right. And that is the secret to psychic work. It's not saying this person lives a different life than me. It's saying this person is more alike than I realized. And I can use that. How would I react in this situation? Well, I would say blah, blah, blah. Well, maybe they would too. You know?
So the thing I find interesting is that you and I did not talk yesterday. We've never met before until today.
Nope.
And how, because I could have leaned in another direction of saying something, but how were you able to get that feeling? I mean, were you stalking me on Facebook? Were you looking at Instagram? How were you able to do that? How did that feeling come to you?
I do this enough, so I'm able to hone into what the universe says. So I can take a deep breath. I can close my eyes and meditate and say, where am I thinking? And as I said, I thought it was Tennessee. I didn't necessarily know it was going to be Knoxville. But then I started putting it down. I said, okay, you're going to want to drive. I haven't met you, but again, we are more similar. I've lived in Pittsburgh. I know people from your area. You're not going to want to drive. You're not going to want to fly. You're going to want to drive. You're going to want to keep it within a day. You're going to want to do something fun. Where would I want to go this time of year if I was in Pittsburgh? Well, gotcha. I would want to go. I like Washington, D.C., but nobody really wants to go to Washington. I had seen clips of your show, so I knew you had pictures of women behind you, you know, the stars of the past, if you will.
And I said,
and anybody who has that is a Dolly fan.
Okay.
So I didn't know it was your son. You know, if I had done some research maybe and found you and did what would be called hot reading, which is I found you on Facebook and I'm going to look it up and saw that your son is working at Dollywood, I would, you know, like, hi to, I don't know, what is his name? Ben or something? Hi to Ben. What's his name?
Daniel.
Hi to Daniel. You know, I would have put that as a hashtag, but then you're a little too on the nose. You want to leave a little mystery.
Because what I think is interesting, and while you're talking, I'm going through my Facebook post for the last, going all the way back to June and beforehand, and there's nothing listed on there about Tennessee.
Yeah, you do.
And that's what's interesting to me about.
Yeah. I said it earlier. It is a muscle. And the more you use it, the better you get. It's like juggling.
Okay.
If I can't juggle. I've tried, but I can't. So when I watch a juggler go up on stage and take three balls and do whatever they do with the balls, I'm sitting there with my jaw dropped going, oh my gosh, that's really, how did you do that? The juggler's going, I do this every day.
Right.
Three balls, that's easy. That's kind of like what mind reading is.
Okay.
You know, you do it every day. You start trusting your intuition. You do get it wrong. And if I got it wrong, I would have moved to something else. And, you know, I didn't say, hey, go on Facebook. Look up. I wanted to make sure it was correct.
Yeah, I got you.
Before I told you what to do. But there is truth to the lie. I really did make that prediction a day ago. You can't manipulate a post.
Right.
And, you know, I do think that a little mystery is a good thing.
Okay. So you have a show coming up.
Yeah.
Which is what, next week?
It is next week. So let me explain to your viewers and listeners the reason for what I'm doing and what I'm doing. I am doing a show at the Magic Castle in Hollywood. It's an exclusive private club. It's not a night at the Magic Castle. It's a daytime show in their big stage. This is my full hour and a half mind reading show, and we're filming it. We got five cameras, producers. It's a big production. Why am I spending all this money to film my own show? Well, I'm investing in myself. I said this earlier. It's I couldn't afford to be in my own audience. I'm not the 1% of the 1%. I don't own a Fortune 500 company. And what I realized is all of my marketing material, all of my promo material is geared towards that group.
Okay.
When they watch it, they see themselves at the country club table. It's not meant for the general public. It's meant for someone to go, oh, yeah, it's not a country club. I get it. So I needed to film myself in a theater. I also have hundreds of people in Los Angeles saying, hey, when can we see you? I want to see you. I want to support you. And I go, I'm sorry, I'm, private events, like unless you hire me. So I said, I'm going to do a show. I'm going to invite everybody I know who's never been able to see me, who can't afford the show, free of charge. My guests, they're going to come into the Magic Castle. They don't need to wear the jacket and tie that they normally do. It's a daytime show. And the trade out is you will be on my promo video. You're going to get a show. You're going to react honestly. It's going to be a real show. It's not a setup. Just like this wasn't a setup. But I'm going to give you an incredible experience as a thank you for supporting this type of art form, for supporting me. And what I'm getting out of it is an investment in my business. So November 8th, it's arrivals at 11 o'clock. We're going to start filming at 11:30. It's an hour and a half show. I'll feed everybody lunch. The best way to get a hold of me is to go to my website. It's www.mentalist.show. Mentalist.show. There's a contact form. All you have to do is send me an email through the contact form saying, hey, I'd like to attend, and I'll put you on the list. You can also go to the Instagram where you check out my prediction with Bill. It's Amazing Mentalist. So if you go on any social media platform, it's Amazing Mentalist, or you can just type in Amazing Men and I pop up first. So lucky coincidence. What can I tell you? But it, you got to believe in yourself and you got to invest in yourself. And I've had a really lousy career in television of people telling me my ideas were no good, only to watch other people make them.
Do it, yeah.
And when I got into the magic world to make it a business, not just to do it for fun or on weekends, I decided I'm going to trust my intuition. I'm going to trust my instinct. If I'm making a living as a psychic, I better live up to that. And part of that is I have to believe in what I'm doing is right. So, emotionally, financially, I'm shaking. I'm scared. This is a big investment. This is a lot of money to do these kind of things.
Right.
Psychically, I know this is the right thing. My intuition, my instinct is going, no, take a deep breath. This is gonna pay dividends. You're going to invite people. They're going to come see the show. But more importantly, you're going to get quality footage that you can create a really good promo out of and send it out and do more variety shows. I should be on cruise ships. I should be doing casinos and resorts. I shouldn't just be doing the ultra rich. Everybody should experience truly incredible entertainment. Right. I believe so. Liberty Magic in Pittsburgh, my promo video is not made for that audience, but this new one, they'll get it and they'll
Will
go, oh
be.
my gosh, of course this guy should be here. You got to listen to what other people are saying.
So when, if the people are interested in doing it, when is your cutoff date to get your information request?
I mean, I would say as soon as possible. If you can get it to me by the 6th, November
Okay.
6th, that would be great. If you could do it by November 7th, we'll squeeze you in.
Okay.
Please don't just show up. I don't want anybody to be turned away. All we're asking is collared shirt, and you could even wear denim if you want. But no logo tees.
Okay.
Keep it classy, I say. But if you can't make it to the show, if you're listening to this across the nation and you're going, boy, this sounds fantastic. I wish I could see it. I think people don't realize how affordable entertainment is. They watch someone on TV, they watch listen to someone on the radio, they're, I can't get that.
Right.
Reach out. Even if it's not me, even if it's someone you saw on TV or heard about, send them an email. That everybody has a website these days, and say, hey, what would it cost for you to do our holiday party or my dinner party? Because you may be surprised the responses. I can't do it on that date, but I'm going to be in Sheboygan on this
Right.
date. If you're willing to put me up and blah blah blah, what's your budget?
Right.
So my encouragement to people is always don't say no because of your assumptions.
You and I didn't even think of this until you mentioned that. What were you doing while we were all in lockdown during COVID? Because a lot of performers went to the internet and were performing live shows, some for free, some were paid, whatever it was. How did you keep yourself sane during that year, year and a half?
Sane, I don't know. that's still a, we haven't decided if that actually happened. But what did I do? I had worked in television for 15 years. I knew how to create a TV show. So I would say 3 weeks of the lockdown. I remember there was a day where kind of everything canceled. And then there was one show left in Florida and I canceled on them. They did not like that. Florida, right? But I canceled all the shows, or they canceled on me. And I instantly said, I better set up some sort of online Zoom show. I had used Zoom in the past and Skype and all that for TV casting. I understood how to use it. I also understood how to come through a screen and engage you. Even if right. I was talking to everybody, I knew how to engage mm-hmm. you. I created an hour-long virtual show.
Okay.
It was tight. It was good. It was good at the beginning. It got to be great. You know, at the beginning, I moved my couch out of the way and performed against the wall with the lights on. By the end, I had lighting. I had sound. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, production value. I had curtains behind me. I mean, we had a TV studio in our apartment. I had a buddy, Denny Corby, out of Scranton. Anybody in the Pennsylvania area who's looking for an incredible magician, give Denny a call. But Denny had done a couple of shows. I had called him and said, hey, man, what am I doing? And he kind of filled in the blanks of my knowledge for that particular environment. I loved it. In my show, I only do mind reading. I only do psychic entertainment. In the virtual show, I didn't want to repeat anything in my live show. So I did magic. I did, you know, I made people laugh. And there was a real... The closest I can get it is I remember 9/11 in Pittsburgh, and I was doing, you know, that was a Tuesday. So Friday I went to Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
And Pittsburgh used to be a major hub for US Airways.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a tremendous amount of people that were still stuck in Pittsburgh, business people. And there was a table of them at Dave and Buster's. I mean, it was a really somber mood. And I went up and I said, hey, you know, I'm here to do magic. I understand if you don't want to see it. And they said, oh my gosh, please, we need a reason to smile, to entertain us. And I remember that relief that they had at that moment. That's what the COVID shows were. It were these people sitting at home. They couldn't see their friends and family, and you would set up the screen so everybody can see each other. And that excitement of a community event, that excitement of people together for the first time in a long time, for me was really satisfying. It was really emotional. The joy it brought people, and the fact that it was good, that again, I wasn't phoning it in. My clientele doesn't accept that.
Right.
They don't accept it's good enough. Mm-hmm. And I watched a lot of shows that were good enough. You knew they were. You knew, I guess this is what we're going to get. You saw it on TV, you know, a couple TV shows, you know, said, oh, we'll just do something from home. And I'm like, yeah. Ooh, just don't do anything at all.
Yeah.
I wouldn't allow that. I will always deliver the best show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my mentality is this is the one and only time in your life you are going to have this experience. I better live up to, if your expectations are high, I want to hurdle over them.
Okay. Which makes a lot of sense. And what you said, I've heard a lot of people say too. And when shows were canceling, a lot of them felt that, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? And am I ever going to go back and work in front of a live audience again? And I guess they felt the internet was better than nothing. So they were able to at least keep it going.
But, you know, but that's the thing. We tend to go better. It's better than nothing. I'm going to do something. Well, there's no reason your something can't be great.
Okay.
It's not that I would always say this to people. A lot of private clubs would say, we don't want to do virtual events. And I would say, why? Our members would rather just not do anything. And I'd say, it's not in place of, it's in addition to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not saying you're never coming back. We're not saying don't do it in person. What I'm saying is, here's another option that is just as good. And unfortunately, people didn't accept the just as good. They just did something, you know? And I think, you know, in times of crisis, I lowered my rates. I didn't raise them because I wanted people to have opportunity that they wouldn't have. I was providing a service and I got paid for it, but this was not the time for me to rob people blind.
Right.
I knew a lot of other entertainers who were doing shows on the internet and charging outrageous prices because they were saying, okay, I can get all this and I'll make $500,000. You know, they were war profiteers and I have no problem with that. I wish I could do that. But, you know, ethically, I felt, you know, we're all struggling. This is the time to make it easier for people, not more difficult. It should be easy to say yes in times of struggle. And, you know, that's just my personal belief. I think it's being nicer is easier. Doing the right thing pays dividends down the road, not right now. You know, it's, and again, the thing I learned two things from COVID during the virtual shows. I learned never underestimate the intelligence of your audience.
Okay.
I was able to watch and record all those little Brady Bunch squares
right.
of my show. So when I would go back and watch the show, I wasn't watching me. I was watching how they reacted.
Mm-hmm.
And very quickly I went, oh, that's not getting them. Okay. That's not good. I don't want that reaction. So that was the first thing, is never underestimate the intelligence of your audience. The second is, people deserve the best. If someone is giving you an hour of their time, if someone is giving you a dollar, let alone 100, 1,000, 1,000,000, whatever, that is worth something.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't give them less of an experience if the money is less. You can give them less time. You can give them a non-bespoke experience, but you never give them less talent. And that I took, you know, I used to go, oh, if they're only going to give me, you know, X amount of dollars, I'll do this and this. No. I'll give them less time.
Okay.
But I will never give them less quality. And that was a lesson from COVID.
So before I let you go, and I mentioned in the beginning that you did prestidigitation, and I told my audience they had to watch it so you could do it. Can you do something for us?
I mean, let me see. Okay. So for anybody who isn't watching and just heard you laugh, I had a deck of cards in my hands. Let's do this. We're going to do a card trick because I love card tricks here. I'm going to try this. It may not work. I'm going to go with this one. You said Dollywood earlier, your son. Maybe it's going to be that. Definitely going to be one of these. I have a card here, deck of cards sticking up. One card sticking up. I want you to clear your mind. Not the Ace of Spades, too easy. Think of one card and say it out loud. Go.
Queen of Hearts.
You've got to be kidding me. Got it on the first time. I love when it happens like that, because, you know, people don't, they just don't believe me. Now, for those of you listening, I just pushed the card down and I didn't really do anything. You said Queen of Hearts? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's so bizarre because earlier today in this deck, I took one card out of a different deck and put it in. Because I thought, you know, what is the kind of card someone like Bill would have said? So you said Queen of Hearts, Bill. What color is that back?
Blue.
And what are all the other ones?
Red.
And the blue card happens to be?
Queen of Hearts.
Queen of Hearts. There you go. Almost like magic. I'll show you how it works, and we'll do this on the camera. You take the oh, it just lasted for a second. It's already, see,
it's already red.
Back to red. Already back to red. That's how quickly these kind of things happen. You take the Queen of Hearts and you place it underneath the deck right there.
Mm-hmm.
You go like that and it jumps back up. So I'll do it one more time. All the way on the bottom. Now, this is tricky because it's on camera. I'm going to place the Queen of Hearts in the middle of the deck. Now, you can actually see it go in the middle of the deck,
yes.
Bill. I don't want to do any tricky business. And let's see if I can get this to work.
I'll be darned. Yep.
Here we go. We're going to do it one more time. You know, it's so interesting when these things kind of happen. I'm going to take the whole deck this time and just make it your Queen of Hearts. I was not prepared for this. This is impromptu stuff here. you know, like I said, mind reading is the job. Mind right. reading is the show. I love magic. I love that moment where something so amazing happens that there's no way to explain it other than going, oh, wow, magic. You know, there is something very cool about that experience. And when it's done bad, when the audience watches it, as I almost just did it pretty poorly, when the audience watches a magic trick and goes, well, I saw you do this. It does take away that child, you know, you kind of feel hurt because deep down inside you want it to be great. You want there to be real magic as an adult. You don't want to feel that wasn't so good. You know, you want to feel, oh wow, that was extraordinary. Let me see if I have something to give you that example. I have a whole deck box of, you know what? I'm gonna show you something here incredible if it's okay with you.
Sure.
I have a fork. This is a real fork. It is a Winco fork from the restaurant supply store. It is not a magic fork. This is not a magic trick. But I do want to do something on camera to show what psychic abilities are. So we're gonna do it right up there. And what I'm gonna do. Let's see if I can angle that. There we go. If you watch, it doesn't go fast, but it is absorbing the energy just a little bit. I'll do it so you can see it, but it does take a lot of concentration for me. Watch. And you can do this through the screen. Put your hand to your temple, Bill. Put your hand to your temple. And I want you to concentrate on what's called the tines. What's called the tines. So concentrate on the tine. And you got one.
I'll be darned.
You got one. And so this is psychic work. This is psychic work even through the screen. It's not a magic trick. It really is bending. It will continue to move. And it is a cheap fork. So if I use two hands, I can do it. Bend it.
Right.
And I'll show you this one. We'll straighten it out. It's hard to bend. I'll straighten it out. And this is kind of neat. We're going to do it right on camera. I'm just going to put all of my energy into my fingertips. And it's going to become, it's almost like melting like butter. Almost like butter. And if I twist it, it should, yeah, we can actually twist the fork. Ooh, this Los Angeles altitude really gets you. You know, it's just, and it's kind of neat because it will keep going throughout the day. It has energy in it now. So for those of you listening, a fork is mangled.
Yes, pretty much mangled.
It's really good for shrimp. You know, you get four per fork. But other than that, you're
really
out of luck.
Can't use it.
So that, you know, you do that. I love doing those kind of things where you walk around a room, you do that in someone's hand, you give it to them. They have an incredible experience. You know, this is not something you see every day. You don't have the laws of physics and molten metal in your hand every single day. And you got to do it the best you can, even if it's virtually.
I'm on the other side of the country and I'm enjoying it. So it's like, that's again, I mean, that just amazes me. So the show is next week, November 8th, daytime show.
Yes.
If you want to, if
at
you
the
want
Magic
to,
Castle,
if you want to be invited, you want to go see it, you get in touch with you, by, going to your website or Googling, are actually looking for mentalist.show
and mentalist.show.
They go to your website and be able to register and be able to go to that. Michael, I wish you the best of luck in the world. This was fun. I would love to have you back on the program sometime in the future. Just to talk about how the show went and.
Oh, I see. I'm looking at my crystal ball. I see it. I see
Can
it.
Can you
happening.
Schedule a date for me that way? Maybe I'll keep it.
No.
Oh, okay.
It says not yet decided.
Not yet decided. It's like my magic eight ball that I have here. Yeah. To be determined. Anyway, Michael Gutenplan, thank you very much for joining us. Had a wonderful time. Again, the website is Mentalist Show and mentalist.show. And that way everybody can check out your website. And that now, is the video going to be posted on the website so people can watch it if they can't be there?
The edited sizzle reel, so 2 minutes of it, will be posted. The full show will only be available to people who want to book it for their live experience. I don't believe in these kind of shows being mass distributed, because it is something you should experience live.
Okay.
It is something you should experience in person.
Well, that sounds great. And again, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And you have a great afternoon and happy Halloween.
Ooh. Thank you so much, Bill. And thank you, everybody, for listening.
Thank you. Hey, a big thank you goes out to Michael Gutenplan for being a part of the program today. If you want to find out more about his show that's happening on November 8th, go to mentalist.show. Again, that's mentalist.show. It was a pleasure. I really enjoyed it. And thank you for coming back. Really missed you guys, and I'm glad we could do this again. Season 3 is officially underway. Guys, you have a great one. We'll talk to you next time here on The Bill Alexander Show.
Thank you for listening to The Bill Alexander Show. The Bill Alexander Show is a $1 Million Baby production. For more information, go to thebillalexandershow.com.